You know, you'd be surprised how many miracles are happening, and God's on the scene all the time, working on our behalf, performing miracles or whatever needs to be done. He's there working, and I just, you know, it really hurts my spirit, my heart, to know that people, even sitting in the house of God, won't even love God, won't give him a chance for nothing. And they use the excuse, he doesn't love me, so they can stay in their sin and they can serve the devil. I just don't understand it. I never will. Maybe one day when I go to heaven. But as long as I'm here on this earth, I won't ever understand anybody sitting in the house of God and not serving God. You know, he's a miracle-working God. And, you know, last night God told me, he said, as we was doing praise and worship, God said, daughter, the only people who are going to show up here tonight are the ones that always come to the service. It'd just be the lighthouse people. And I looked around, and sure enough, that was all that was here. But you saw how God moved. Moved in a powerful way. You know, I just, you know, God is just so awesome. God met your faithfulness last night, you that always come to the lighthouse. You know, people stay away from church by droves. You know that, don't you? Why? Because they're tired of what they have in church. There's just no reason to go to church. There's nothing there except a bunch of facade. You know, and so they just soon sit at home, watch TV. You know, watch preaching on TV. But, you know, that isn't what God called us to do. He called us to fellowship with one another, pray for one another, uphold one another, strengthen. You know, we need strength from each other. When things are going bad, we just need strength. We have the Father, yes. He's uppermost in our hearts. But why do you think he created Adam so we could have fellowship, right? Why did he give us friends, mates, whatever, children? He gave them to us because he knows that we need fellowship, that we need to draw strength from one another. Amen. Well, Father, I thank you for those who came out tonight. I especially thank you for this video that I ran across, Father God, to strengthen our faith and to let us see that you work behind the scenes all the time, and that you are a miracle-working God. Father, we don't know why these people died, but you know what? You knew why it was their time and why you took them on home. And for that, we give you glory, Father. And Father God, I thank you tonight for those who came out to sit in your presence. I thank you, Father God, for the joy that's in their hearts. I thank you, Father, that every need that they have is going to be met tonight. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, this is just amazing what God's been doing so far in this revival with the teaching. It's all about us being vessels that can carry his glory. So tonight I'm going to teach on reflecting God's glory. Romans 12:2 says, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. Now, some of you weren't paying attention to the screen, so look at the screen and listen as I read and look at what you're reading, all right? Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all his demands, and moves toward the goal of true maturity. And this is what this whole thing's about, is being true, mature Christians. If you're not a true, mature Christian, you can't witness to nobody else. You aren't going to win any other souls to Christ because you won't have the truth in you. It will not be evidence, and people won't want to come near you because you aren't drawing them with the truth. You're trying to draw them with your charisma, and it's not going to work. Whenever anyone accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, God tells us that they are a babe in Christ Jesus, spiritually born into a new life. Now they are spiritually born again, born into the kingdom of God. They must mature from being a babe in Christ to a full stature in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 4:13. You get born again, you're a brand new babe, you don't know anything, then you have to mature. And along the way, you're like a baby. You wet yourself a couple times. You know, we have to change your diaper often. You know, we have to keep renewing your milk, right? But still, no, we're on the journey of being mature. Tonight I want us to take a look at how to attain this maturity in Christ Jesus. Larry, will you give me my water down here, please? Tonight I want us to take a look at how to attain this maturity in Christ Jesus. The spiritual growth, now listen, the spiritual growth is not automatic. Just because someone has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, spiritual growth involves cooperation. Now, see, if you're like me, I thought everybody should be, boom, changed the instant they became born again. Right? But I found out that doesn't work. All right, so I said the spiritual growth is not automatic. Just because someone has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, spiritual growth involves cooperation. The born-again believer must participate in the plan God has outlined in His Word if he is ever to mature in Christ Jesus. Now, this is a teaching, so you're going to have to listen, or I'm going to lose you, and you're going to leave here worse than when you came. You're going to leave here befuddled. So I said the born-again believer must participate in the plan God has outlined in His Word if he is ever to mature in Christ Jesus. Spiritual maturity is not something that just happens to some believers and not to others. It happens as a result of the believer living in harmony with God's basic principles of life by the power of the Holy Spirit. The conflicts we face in our personal life can most of the time be traced back to a violation of a principle which is found in God's Word. The conflicts we face in our personal life can most of the time be traced back to a violation of a principle which is found in God's Word. You know, some people, when God calls them, He already has them equipped. They're already anointed, and He needs leaders, and He can't find any. So He'll pull somebody out of the world, out of the crowd, and totally and completely anoint them and equip them and then use them. Now, that's different than every ordinary person gets born again. Not everybody is born again with that capacity. So always remember that. See, I know what's happened. God's already tested and tried you before He ever called you. And he knew what you were going to be like. And that's why he called you the way He did, either anointed or not anointed. Amen. And then He increased your anointing as you went on. That's the truth, and you have to come to grips with that. God's plan for our lives is not so much in what we do as it is what we are. God is vitally concerned with the witness our life leaves with the world around us. Our life is constantly sending a message to those around us, and it isn't what we say with our mouth that is our witness, but our mannerisms. All right? The biblical word witness does not necessarily mean to speak, but rather it has the meaning of our life being a reflection of God's glory to the world around us. The biblical word witness does not necessarily mean to speak, but rather it has the meaning of our life being a reflection of God's glory to the world around us. We are supposed to be reflecting God's glory at all times. I'm going to say something here. You have to understand, the closer you walk with God, the stronger your anointing, the more the enemy is going to fight you. He's going to do everything in his power to try to make you trip on something he's doing to you. I don't want to get into my tomorrow's lesson, but you have to understand that the stronger your anointing, the bigger the devils are that you fight. Like God told me that the little pinions couldn't take me out, so Satan sent his top brass after me. And that's what I'm fighting. I have been fighting for quite a few years. So maybe some of you are fighting the very same thing. Maybe you've grown in the Lord and your anointing has become stronger. And so now the little pinions couldn't do anything. Minions couldn't do anything. So now the top brass from hell is after you. You know, you're going to have to be strong in the Lord. Because as your anointing increases, the demonic attack and warfare increases. All right? As we develop insight into God's principles of living, our life will grow into a reflection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. The word translated as witness in our Bibles is a word which means to show forth or to display, such as a shop owner may display some items in his shop window, or someone may exhibit a trophy putting it on display. Even though it is often subconscious, our lives are controlled by our emotions and reactions. These inner emotions and reactions are controlled by deep-seated attitudes, which we have toward God, toward ourselves, toward our family, toward our employer, our teachers, our friends, and toward all others around us. Now, how can these attitudes be changed? Before I go any further, I said, God, why are you having me teach the people about being vessels to carry your glory? Is it because they are not fine-tuned enough for my glory to go into their vessels? So what God is doing in these few teachings that I'm going to be giving you is trying to fine-tune your vessel so he can drop the glory on you, and then you can carry that glory and be a reflection of God's glory. All right? We need to look into God's word and find out what kind of attitudes we should have. God has promised that when we have the right kind of attitudes in life, we will have fulfillment, satisfaction, and true happiness. And I see that in the body of Christ, in my family. If they have the right attitudes, they have a good life. If they have bad attitudes, they stink. And they pull everybody else into their stink. Amen? 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. You are being changed every day into the glory of the Lord. God's been dealing with the Lighthouse Church for years now and trying to get us changed and rearrange us. He's put us through the sieve. We've been through the furnace of affliction. You know, whatever it is that you had to go through, we've gone through it. Why? Because God is trying to fine-tune us to be carriers of his glory. Not everybody's going to be able to carry his glory because you won't allow God to fine-tune you. And you keep hanging on to your sin nature. You cannot be a glory carrier and hang on to your sin nature. You just can't. And I'm not trying to discourage anybody in here, but you need to know the truth. All right? 2 Timothy 3:18. All of us, nothing between us and God, our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. See that? All of us, every one of us in here tonight, nothing between us and God, our face is shining with the brightness of his face, and so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. It jerks my jaws to see people still walk around with a religious spirit. Come on now. I don't care what church you go to. I don't care how long you've been in church. If you're reading your Bible, the Bible says spirit calls unto spirit. It doesn't say religious calls unto religious. Spirit calls unto spirit. And quite a few years ago, God said, no more religious anything. It is spirit calling unto the spirit. And if you want God to use you, then you're going to have to be a spirit person, walking in the spirit. Our lives should be reflections of the life of Jesus Christ. Hello? Come on, body of Christ. Our lives should be reflections of the life of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit within us will give us all the capability and competence we need to reflect the character of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit within you. Do you not have the Holy Spirit within you? Is that why you cannot reflect the life of Jesus Christ? Think about that. I'm not saying you don't. I'm trying to get you guys to think. You know, ponder a little bit. What am I really like? What's really going on inside of me? Am I really full of the Holy Spirit? You see what I'm saying? Is God really motivating me? Is he really leading God and directing me? Or do you just want to sit there and vegetate? The truth will set you free. Free to go in sin or free to get free from sin? One or the other. 2 Corinthians 3:18 in the Living Translation says, "But we Christians have no veil over our faces." We can be mirrors that brightly reflect the glory of the Lord, and as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. You see this? It says, we have no veil over our face. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but this precious treasure, this light and power that now shine within us, is held in a perishable container, that is in our weak bodies, just in you and I. Everyone can see that the glorious power within must be from God, and it is not our own. Are you listening? People look at you and say, that has to be God within them, because I know it's not them, right? As I know them. Just like they knew the carpenter's son, right? The glorious power within us is the Holy Spirit producing this precious treasure, this light and power that now shines within us. All people must realize that it is not our power, but God working within us. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going. See that? Our problems do not have to overcome us. They can become opportunities which God will use to develop the witness He desires to reflect His glory through us to our world. When we're going through troubles, people should be able to look at us and say, I don't see how they're doing it. It has to be God within them, you know. But instead, we see a wimpy, weak church of boo-hoos and cries and moans and kicks their balls and everything else. And you know, we don't show the power of God that's within us. Our problems do not have to overcome us. They can become opportunities which God will use to develop the witness He desires to reflect His glory through us to our world. 2 Corinthians 4:10, these bodies of ours are constantly facing death, just as Jesus did. So it is clear to all that it is only the living Christ within who keeps us safe. Come on. You know, God, I've been reading where there a lot where the intercessors, God's really anointing the intercessors to go into deep intercession for things that are going on in the world, our loved ones or whatever. And if you're really paying attention to how God's having you pray, you're praying a whole lot differently. You're praying with more power. You're going deeper into prayer, intercession like you've never gone before. At least that's what I'm doing. And I know the whole body of Christ is supposed to be there too. We're not supposed to be sitting around weak and feeble. We're supposed to be interceding. Are you listening here? We must be constantly dying to our natural inclination or reactions in order to let Jesus produce His life within us. We let Jesus Christ live in us. And if we let Jesus Christ live us, then He does the work. We do not. 2 Corinthians 4:11. Yes, we live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord. Yes. We live under constant danger to our lives because we serve the Lord. But this gives us constant opportunities to show forth the power of Jesus Christ within our dying bodies. All right, now these teachings are going to build one upon the other, so listen to what you're hearing tonight. 2 Corinthians 4:12 and 13, because of our preaching, we face death, but it has resulted in eternal life for you. Paul says, because of our preaching, we're getting ready to die. But it has produced eternal life in you, the people we're preaching to. We boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the psalm writer did when he said, I believe and therefore I speak. See, Paul said, we boldly say what we believe, trusting that God's going to take care of them. And I know a lot of Christians who won't open their mouth for a tiddly. They'll let somebody stand there and tell the whopping a sly you're one to hear. Or twist a word like you wouldn't believe, and they wouldn't open their mouth and tell them they're wrong for nothing. God has put a boldness in me, and I don't care who I talk to. If you're not doing right, I'm going to let you know. Because it is time you quit walking over the blood of Jesus Christ. It's time you became the pure vessel of honor that God can work through and He can use and work through you. The word preaching, is that what I meant? The word preaching here means that we have an opportunity to proclaim or reflect Christ's witness. As we die to our natural reactions and let Christ live through us, we are presenting eternal life to others. As we die to our natural reactions and let Christ live through us, we are presenting eternal life to others. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, we know that the same God who brought the Lord Jesus back from death will also bring us back to life again with Jesus and present us to him along with you. It's, Paul and them, they knew who they were. They knew who Jesus Christ was. And, you know, I think of today, as I was getting another lesson prepared, I was thinking about Paul. You know, Paul was happy, wasn't he? He was out there just killing the Christians, right? He was, you know, he was from good stock. He had lots of money, and he was living it up, right? Until Jesus knocked him off his donkey. And from that, if you really read about Paul's life, from that point on, he suffered. He suffered and he suffered and he suffered. But he kept right on working for Christ. He didn't say, I'm going to go back to the good old days. He didn't say that. He suffered. I mean, he suffered. You guys aren't even suffering. Come on, think about this. I sort of felt sorry for Paul today as I read over and over again, you know, what I already know about Paul. But I thought, my Lord, God, you know, you really took this man through the mill. But you know what? God knew that he'd be able to handle that. He knew when he knocked him off that donkey that this Paul was going to go forth and not give up until he reached his destiny with Christ. Amen. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the greatest display of God's power, according to Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, is now presently at work within us, enabling us to reflect Christ's life to our world. Do you really believe that? The same power that raised Christ from the dead, the greatest display of God's power, according to Ephesians 1, 19 and 20, is right now presently at work within us, enabling us to reflect Christ's life to our world. Come on. 2 Corinthians 4:15. These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. And the more of you who are one to Christ, the more there are to thank him for his great kindness, and the more the Lord is glorified. What Paul say? These sufferings of ours are for your benefit. Anytime if you're a true vessel of God and God's using you mightily, the sufferings that you go for doesn't have anything to do with you. They are for somebody else's benefit. But I see the body of Christ moan and groan and cry and change my diaper and give me a warm bottle. You know, they don't want to suffer. They just want to bloop. And it isn't, doesn't work that way, guys. It doesn't. Our problems can be a tremendous benefit to others when we learn to respond to them from God's point of view. God is glorified in our lives when we become a reflection of Christ's character, showing forth his image to our world. One time God said, I was moaning and groaning when I was first born again, and God said, I want you to get in the Word, and he wasn't nice about it. I want you to read all about my son, Jesus. And then I want you to come back and with your complaining. Well, guess what? I never went back complaining. See, whenever I would complain, I said, well, your son only had to endure 3 years of this suffering. I was there, and, you know, but God put me in my place real quick. Amen? So I'm putting you in your place real quick tonight. You know, I don't care if Jesus only suffered 3 years. You're supposed to go right ahead and suffer as long as God wants you to suffer. 2 Corinthians 4:16, the Message Bible said, so we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside where God is making new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Even though we just feel like everything's is falling apart on the outside, inside God still has us strong, as strong towers. He still is in there undergirding us and giving us the strength and power to go forth and do the things we're supposed to be doing. Amen. We may fail at times, but we never give up. Now, I'll get that in your little hat, too. We may fail at times, but we never give up as the inner strength of the Lord grows every day. 2 Corinthians 4:17, these troubles and sufferings of ours are, after all, quite small, this is what Paul has to say, and won't last very long. Yet this short time of distress will result in God's richest blessings upon us forever and ever. And we know what Paul went through. We're going to learn about that in a couple services. He said they won't last for long. They last his whole walk with God, didn't they? Come on. So if you're going to suffer your whole walk with God, well, that's your calling. See, God told me when he first called me, he's a daughter, some are born to suffer, and you are one of those, and you will suffer for my sake. And he is true. I mean, I can't say God lies, because he doesn't. He is true. So what's he telling you? Come on. I was working in my flower bed the other day trying to get him in order, and I said, you know, if I was 80 years old, I couldn't do this. This is really hard work. And my daughter, who was in her 50s, said, that's what I say every day, Mom, about herself. But you know who strengthens me? God strengthens me. God gives me whatever I need to do for that day. And he does the same thing for each one of you. He strengthens you. I don't care how old, how young, I don't care how feeble your body is. I don't care if you're there. I don't care anything. God gives you what you need for each day. God told me about 10 years ago, daughter, he said, daughter, from this day forward, you will walk one day at a time. Not two or three, one day at a time, it'll be total and complete faith. So for that day, he gives you strength. He gives you whatever you need to do that one day. Quit trying to live a month in one day. One day at a time. Amen. All right, where am I at? God's defined purpose. Yeah, all right. God's defined purpose for us with every problem. God's defined purpose for us with every problem which he allows will not last long when examined in the light of eternity. If we could just get there, wouldn't that be wonderful? Through it all, we must let God's eternal plan for us exhibit itself. 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we do not look at what we can see right now, the troubles all around us, but we look forward to the joys in heaven, which we have not yet seen. The troubles will soon be over, but the joys to come will last forever. I said, I'll be so glad I'm going to heaven, because then I won't have any troubles. I'll just be out up there dancing with the angels. Amen? Come on. So I'm not concerned with what's going on here, because I know my goal is heaven. And I know God's goal for me is heaven. And I'm going to make sure I go to heaven. Amen? Come on. We must live now for the eternal joys of eternity. The eternal joys of eternity. Our life here is not to be controlled by things which we can see now, but by the joys that await us in heaven and the purpose God is seeking to bring about in our life. And I probably, you don't do this. I probably, anyone does this, every day I just say, thank you, God, that there is some joy for me in heaven. Because I can endure this junk I'm going through now, because in heaven, there's joy. Amen? I have to remind myself of that, don't you? If not, you'd go goofy, wouldn't you? With all the junk around you. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. The only letter I need is you yourselves. Paul's saying, I just need you to be an epistle. By looking at the good change in your hearts, everyone can see that we have done a good work among you. Paul was excited with his little group of sheep because they had changed. They can see that you are a letter from Christ, written by us. It is not a letter written with pen and ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not one carved on stone, but in human hearts. Paul was so excited. He said, you guys are just wonderful. You have changed. And everybody meets you knows you've changed. You know, your hearts are different. Amen. He was probably in there shouting hallelujah, but he's in chains when he's thinking about all that, right? Our life is God's letter to our world to display his glory. As we allow God to develop us through heartache, this is hard. Listen to what we're reading. As we allow God to develop us through heartache, conflicts, and disappointments, our life very well could be the only epistle they will ever read. Come on. The world doesn't want the church because the world has more than what the church has, in case you don't know that. Why do I have to go to your church? I'm happy out here. You guys aren't even happy in there. Never saw just fussing and carrying on all my life. It's what it does in the church is what I've been told. So why should I come to your church? So I say, if you're going to leave here and go out your neck like the devil, don't tell me you're the Lighthouse Church. I don't want everybody to think that that's what we do here. Amen? Because I teach holiness. I don't teach go out your neck like the devil. It is through these experiences that we reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Now, these experiences are the heartache, the conflicts, and the disappointments, all right? It is through these experiences that we reflect the image of Jesus Christ. Through these conflicts of life, our responses become the letter from Christ that our world reads. We must always remember that God created man with three dimensions, body, soul, and spirit. All right? Each one of these dimensions have certain aptitudes, interests, and capacities. And for man to be the person God intended him to be, he must develop 100% in the possible potential on all three of these dimensions. That's why you're so lopsided. You haven't developed in all three of these areas. For instance, it is impossible for a job to fulfill all the aptitudes, capacities, and interests that God has placed in our life. Because we are three-dimensional, all areas must be developed. So if our work cultivates 30% of our potential, it still leaves us with a 70% boredom factor. To be fulfilled, we must develop all three dimensions which God created man for. So start developing your body, your soul, and your spirit. Well, I'm going to work on my spirit. Well, what about your body and your soul? The question is, what are we living for? Many are dissatisfied in life because they fail to realize the full potential on all three levels of life. They look for something more satisfying and cannot find complete fulfillment because total fulfillment can only be found when one's life is built on God's purposes. Our life's goal since coming to Christ is to reflect God's glory to our world. What should be the order of our priority? Our responsibility, according to God's word, is first, our own relationship with God. Second, our family, our wife and our children, and so on. Third, the local body of believers, the church. Fourth, our job, our employment, providing for the household. Now, if we attempt to find fulfillment in priorities other than God's order, we will be disappointed and we'll be bored. How to find God's will in a matter? George Mueller, a mighty man of faith, once said, if you want God's will for your life, now listen what you're reading, then your heart must be in such a state as to have no will of its own. George Mueller, a mighty man of faith, once said, if you want God's will for your life, then your heart must be in such a state as to have no will of its own. To find God's will in a matter, list why it should not be good for you. And then list why that same thing would be beneficial to you. If you're honest in your search for God's will in the matter, and you balance a scale of anticipation with the reasons why this thing would not be beneficial, with reasons why it would be right and would achieve God's purpose in your life, then you would be in a beautiful position to dissolve all discontent. Come on. Philippians 4:11, actually, I don't have a sense of needing anything personally. I've learned by now to be quite content with whatever my circumstances. Now, I can't say that I can live that one. I've lived in that 100% because every now and then I get discontent with my circumstances. Amen? And I was discontent the other night and God told me about Lot. Righteous Lot. His spirit was vexed because of the darkness he had to live around. He said, that's where you're at. So I know where I'm at. Amen. Paul said that he learned to be content. This is what he said in Philippians 4:11. We can dissolve discontent by getting rid of all of our expectations. Come on, guys. I don't expect anything anymore. God, you just do what you got to do. You know? Only then can we be free to enjoy God working in our life, displaying his glory through us. So I said, Paul said that he learned to be content. We can dissolve discontent by getting rid of all of our expectations. But then see, well then, only then can we be free to enjoy God working in our life, displaying his glory through us. Don't be like me though. All right, I'm going to be content here, but will you hurry up and get it done? So I'm not content really, right? And I'm not the only one who thinks that way. God, why didn't you do it yesterday? Why are you letting this thing drag on? You know, I'm not content. But so I have to be content in whatsoever state I'm in. Still working on that. God who created us knows how to satisfy all our undeveloped aptitudes, interests, and capacities. God accomplishes this by allowing problems to come into our life. Hello, guys. Irritations, difficulties, heartaches, and sorrows are opportunities for God to reflect His glory through us to our world. These problems are not accidents, but rather they have come for a purpose and they are an essential part of our life's witness. If we focus in on what God's glory is, what He desires to display through our life by these problems, it is only then that we can discover God's solution to solve them and develop correct spiritual and psychological aptitudes. If we focus in on what God's glory is, what He desires to display through us, He would desire to display His glory through us by these problems that He's given us, and we try to pray away, it is only then that we can discover God's solution to solve them and develop correct spiritual and psychological aptitudes. God knows what each of us needs, and without problems we would never develop in some dimension of our life. Do you ever notice that whenever you sort of get lackadaisical, you know, sort of comfortable, here comes a problem. That's God. He's got His little prodding stick and He's prodding you. Come on now, you're going to go to sleep here if I don't do something. Get you excited about something. Amen. You could have the best job in the world and everything that money could buy and still be bored and unfulfilled, simply because the aptitudes, interests, and capacities in any one of the three levels which God has created within us is not being completely fulfilled, body, soul, and spirit. We must allow God's glory through our life to be reflected to the people and the circumstances which He allows to come into our life. We must allow God's glory through our life to be reflected to the people and the circumstances which He allows to come into our life. God's will is not so much what we do, but rather it is an ever-expanding insight into the basic witness God desires to develop in our life. Amen. Something has come up in my life the last 2 days, and I no more want to be up here than the moon does. I said, God, You're going to have to anoint me. He's anointed me to give this teaching, even though my heart is breaking. You see what I'm saying? I'm reflecting God's glory is what it's all about. How do I display God's glory in my life? Number one, and this is you, y'all, all of us. Number one, reflecting God's glory involves people. Jesus died on the cross because God so loved people. Sometimes we have a fear of people. How do we get rid of that fear? God's glory reflected through our life is expression of mature love. You see that? Expressing mature love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Number two, reflecting God's glory in our life concerns, first of all, Christians. In Galatians 6:10, it says, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. You know, in the household of faith, what I see is a lot of backbiting, a lot of little clicks going on. And that isn't what it says. It's do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. God teaches that what the world needs is not more exposure to talking, verbalizing the gospel, but rather a demonstration of Christians who will live the gospel. Come on. Some non-Christians say, if so-and-so is a Christian, I never want to be one, right? He did me wrong and has never tried to make it right. And if his life is an example of what Christianity is all about, I never want to be one. I remember I took my daughter, my middle daughter, to a church I was going to. I only went to it for a month. But I took her, and what she saw, she didn't like it. She says, if this is what church is all about, I don't want it. She hadn't been in church since. She's now 50-some. And she was 18 then. They went on a youth retreat. They had drugs, booze, and sex. And they preached against all that, but that's what their teenagers were doing. And the chaperones who were grown-ups were doing the same thing. She didn't want that. She didn't even have that in the world at that point in her life. Do you understand that, guys? Come on. First Peter 4, 12 through 19 tells us that we are to rejoice in fiery trials. That was First Peter 4. I want you to read that when you go. First Peter 4, 12 through 19 tells us that we are to rejoice in fiery trials, in sufferings, in reproaches, unjustly received. I'll give you a C+ tonight because you are growing in that area. We must suffer as Christ did, guys. We must suffer as Christ did because the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God with God's own children. And you know he's been doing that in this church for a couple years now. Immature Christians are keeping non-Christians from coming to God. You get out there and you act flaky. You know, how dumb can you get? You're not going to win anybody to Christ. You got to act flaky. You know, when I was first born again and went to church, and this one guy was in this church, and he couldn't talk to you without quoting the Bible. That drove me to distraction. I said, God, why can't these people talk? He said, they have religious spirits. He said, you're dealing with religious spirits. You know, I said, well, I can't talk to these people because all they do is, you couldn't even have a conversation. Now they start quoting the scriptures. Come on. That's a bunch of fake. You're not going to win the world to Christ by doing that. You know, be who you are. Well, maybe not. But, you know, if you matured some in Christ, then be who God's made you. Amen? And let God use your personality. All right, number three, reflecting God's glory involves reacting in love to the irritations of other Christians. I have to really work on that. Don't y'all have to work on that? Yeah, so reflecting God's glory involves reacting in love to the irritations of other Christians. I used to be able to do that. It would run off my water, like, you know, water in a duck's back. It didn't bother me at all. But lately, and God said, I'm angry with my people in my house. And he said, and I'm using you. Well, you know, it's sort of hard whenever he's using you as a ramming rod to try to get people to do what they're supposed to do, especially when you've been quiet all your life. Reflecting God's glory involves reacting in love to the irritations of other Christians. John 15:13 teaches, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends or his brethren. I'm going to tell you, saints, this is a true verse in the Bible. And God wants us to react in love. But God is upset with the church who has love, has had love bathed upon him, and they still are serving the devil. At those he gets upset with. And so if he used you to be upset with those that tell them the truth, don't have no condemnation, because God is using your voice to speak to them and saying, you need to get it together. Amen? Come on. Every born-again believer is a member of the family of God, the body of Christ. When there is an infection in our physical body, there is an irritation. Right, Brother Chris? Right, sure. Because the cells around that infection are bringing a healing substance to the infected area in order to confine the infection. The cells are laying down their lives for the body, building a wall around the infected area so the infection will not spread and hurt the rest of the body. This brings healing as well as a sense of irritation. See, and this is what we do as Christians. All right, number four, reflecting God's glory involves allowing God to assume responsibility for his reputation in our life. All right, number four, reflecting God's glory involves allowing God to assume responsibility for his reputation in our life. I said, all right, God, you called me. I didn't call myself, so you're going to have to do something here, right? You called the Lighthouse Church into existence. I didn't, so you're going to run it, right? And, you know, as I allow him to run the church and as I allow him to run, you know, the meetings and do what he's telling me to do, then his glory is shown. But if I would, just like last night, I could have got up here and broke every bit of anointing that was here. But see, I allow God to move me. It's God that plans the service, not me. Amen? And his glory came, and he did a powerful work. Revelation 3:15-20. I know you well. You are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were one or the other. But since you are merely lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. See, God, we have to be hot or cold. You say I'm rich with everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that spiritually you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I see so much of that in the house of God, don't you? My advice to you is to buy pure gold from me, gold purified by fire. Only then will you truly be rich. And to purchase from me white garments, clean and pure, so you won't be naked and ashamed. And to get medicine from me to heal your eyes and give you back your sight. I continually discipline and punish everyone I love. So is God continually disciplining and punishing you? And he loves you. So I must punish you unless you turn from your indifference and become enthusiastic about the things of God. Look, I have been standing at the door and I am constantly knocking. If anyone hears me calling him and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship with him and he with me. I mean, you know, that's plain, simple. All right, these believers were lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, yet they say that they have need of nothing. God says they nauseate him. Why? Because their lives bring reproach to his cause and stop others from accepting Christ as their Savior. God wants us to assume responsibility to be red hot, displaying his glory, so that others will say the Christian life is wonderful. I want it too. Please tell me how. See, that everybody, when they see you change, you're going to say, I want what you have. Please tell me how you got it. That's how I became born again. I always went to church, and I wasn't a bad person, but I had this girlfriend who, she was a mess. She cussed like a trooper. And she came in, loud mouthed, you know. And she came, we was going to college again, and she came in to pick me up from my workplace that night. And I said, hi, how are you tonight? She didn't say nothing. And I said, are you sick? She still didn't say nothing. And I said, Rose, what's wrong with you? She said, I said, I want whatever you have. I know something's happened to you. What happened to you? And she said, you come with me to a prayer meeting tomorrow night, and you'll get what I got. She took me to Full Gospel Businessmen's Association meeting, and I got it. And I knew why she was different. See, people, whenever you're changed, they're going to want what you have. But if they see you out there being worldly and doing everything that the world does, they don't want what you have because they already have that. Amen. You're going to have to understand too something right now, saints of God. We are at a place in our walk with God where God has given us a backbone of steel and a forehead of flint. And where we used to let people walk all over us and do all manner of evil to us, God is saying enough is enough and it's going to stop. And when you want to be mild-mannered, he might make you be red hot. He might use you to do things that you really don't want to do or say things you really don't want to say. I'm at that place with a few people in my life, and they're saying, yeah, and you call yourself so godly. I do call myself godly, and I know who I am in Christ, and I know you're messed up, and I'm not letting you mess me up no more. That's just how it is. I'm tired of letting the world walk all over me. This world who has known Christ about all their life, and they think, well, I'll just keep walking on it. No, that's stopped. God said enough is enough. He said, I've sent a mandate into hell that enough is enough in your life. And this stuff that you've been going through is stopping right now. And you know, sometimes God uses my mouth to stop it. Are you listening here? But make sure it's God speaking through you, not your own self. We must display God's glory so that others will want what we have. All right, number five, reflecting God's glory is seeing the need around us, discovering the root cause, and finding the scriptural solution. Surface problems are self-criticism, acting superior, dishonesty, cheating, lying, stealing, and profanity. The inward attitudes, insecurity, feeling inferior, fears, extreme lack of self-confidence. All right, the root problems, a root of bitterness, temporal values, moral impurities. That's the root of all your problems that we just, the other two. Our relationship with God is broken down into one or more of these areas. The answer to all problems is God. Answer to all problems is God. God created man and knows how man operates. Hello, guys. Women and men, God knows how we operate. He knows what it takes to make him happy. He knows what it takes to make him happy, successful, and fulfilled. So he has prescribed certain precise principles for man to live by, and these principles are found in God's word. Many believers live haphazard lives without any purpose. There is no attempt to work out their salvation, develop their character, or to display God's glory. There is very little outward evidence of God's power governing their lives. Paul said in Colossians 1:9-10, So ever since we first heard about you, we have kept on praying and asking God to help you understand what he wants you to do, asking him to make you wise about spiritual things, and asking that the way you live will always please the Lord and honor him, so that you will always be doing good, kind things for others, while all the time you are learning to know God better and better. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. Understanding is responding to life's situation as Christ would respond, reflecting God's glory. Wisdom is seeing life from God's point of view. If we were to look at life from our point of view, we will develop all kinds of wrong attitudes, such as bitterness, discouragement, disharmony, despair, and so on. I have to fight this every day, because when I look at the things around about me and know it's been going on for years and years and years and nothing looks like it's changing, but God's saying, daughter, I'm working behind the scenes, so I have to keep that little promise. I'm working behind the scenes, and I have to keep taking my eyes off the situation and put my eyes on Christ every day. There's not a day goes by that you don't, if you're being fought by the enemy, that you don't have to do that. If we were to look at life from our point of view, which we do, we will develop all kinds of wrong attitudes, such as bitterness, discouragement, disharmony, despair, and so on. And that's why you have to remember the word that God spoke to you, so that you can keep your eyes on his word and not on the things around about you. However, when these same experiences are seen from God's point of view, we will develop, you know, when we see them from God's point of view, we will develop, I lost my place. We will develop attitudes of encouragement, excitement, hope, gratefulness, and anticipation. And if you'll really take your eyes off of what you're seeing and remember that what God has told you about the situation, and even though it's been years and years, he said, I'm cleaning the house up, and it's not still cleaned up. He is cleaning the house up. All right? And so what you have to do is quit looking what's going on around about you and keep your eyes on the promise that he's given you. When we learn to respond correctly to life's experiences, we will not only develop right attitudes in our own life, but we will also reproduce them in other lives. Philippians 2:5, let the same attitude and purpose in mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Our goal and purpose in life is to be like Jesus, to understand how he thought, to know the basic set of principles by which he made decisions. We are to be reflections of his image. We are to be glory carriers. Now tonight, God has taught you a lot, and he's trying to grow you up so you can carry his glory. The weight of his glory will kill you if you're not your vessel is not fine-tuned to carry that glory. Tonight, God wants to take you. Some of you will go further than others in tonight's anointing. But he wants to take you into an anointing that will destroy the yokes in your mind, in your will, and in your emotion. He wants to take you to that height of his glory where he's going to totally and completely change and rearrange everything that's in your thought life. Because he's telling me it's in your thought life where your troubles are coming from. You're looking at your circumstances. You're looking at things around about you that are all negative, and you're not looking at the light. You're always looking at the darkness. All right, so you might be like Lot, you know, you righteous Lot. You were vexed with the darkness around about you, but God delivered him from that darkness, did he not? Killed his wife because she wouldn't listen, but he did deliver him. So God is going to deliver you if you're vexed because you're living in all this darkness. He is going to deliver you, but tonight he has to give you an anointing in your mind so that your mindset will change and you will no longer look at the darkness, but you'll start believing in the light. So the altar is open for that if that's what you want. I didn't know what he was going to do, so wasn't that great what he just said? So don't ask me what he just said. I just hope you heard it. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good, guys. Don't be content in the state that you're in. Always want more of God in your life. And if you think you've arrived, then you have a religious spirit that you need to tell God to yank out of you. Because none of us have arrived. Absolutely none of us. Every day God is changing us into his image. Come on, let the glory. Let the glory be what goes into your mind and changes your mind, your will, and your emotions. Let God get you steady in every area of your life. He wants to balance you out tonight. You don't want life as usual. When you leave here tonight, you want to be changed and rearranged into the image of Jesus Christ. And God said he wants you to move forward. Quit moving backwards. He wants you to move forward.